This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. There has been a flurry of diplomatic activity this week in preparation for upcoming talks on North Korea's drive to acquire nuclear weapons. Today, representatives of the United States, Japan, and South Korea begin a two-day meeting in Washington. There also have been meetings in Tokyo, Seoul, and Moscow. The main event is expected to begin on August 27th in Beijing, with all these nations trying to work out a deal that will finally put an end to North Korea's nuclear weapons program. NPR's Mike Schuster has a report from Seoul.
By deciding to sit down together later this month, both the United States and North Korea have already made concessions. North Korea insisted it would negotiate only with the U.S., but it has agreed to allow South Korea, Japan, Russia, and China to take part. The Bush administration insisted it wouldn't talk to the North Koreans one-on-one, but all the parties involved say American diplomats will find some way to speak to the North Koreans directly within the framework of the six-way talks. At least publicly, South Korea, the U.S., and Japan share the same goals for the talks: the complete, verifiable, and irreversible dismantling of North Korea's nuclear weapons facilities. Where they differ is on how to get that. Until now, the Bush administration has been loath to make a deal with the North Koreans, giving them what they have been pleading for: economic assistance and security guarantees. But the South Korean government is eager to help the North Koreans, according to Pan Ki-moon, foreign affairs advisor to the president of South Korea.
They should understand that it is not nuclear weapons which will guarantee their national security and which will assure international economic assistance. What they need is security guarantee and economic assistance. They can get it by abandoning nuclear weapons program, and they can get it through international cooperation.
Much of the debate over how to approach North Korea stems from its decision in the late 1990s to begin a secret program to enrich uranium for the production of a nuclear bomb. This violated the spirit of the agreed framework of 1994, in which North Korea decided to freeze its facilities that produced plutonium. Last October, North Korea admitted to the uranium enrichment program, and since then it has taken several steps to unfreeze its plutonium facilities and openly threatened to build a nuclear arsenal. Still, despite all this, many analysts here believe the North Koreans are willing to strike a real bargain. Chung In-moon was an advisor to former South Korean President Kim Dae-jung.
Their bargaining position is such that if you are willing to talk with us, then we are going to give up. If not, we will pursue nuclear deterrence as a way of safeguarding our national and regime survival.
Moon argues that much more is at stake in these upcoming talks than North Korea's nuclear potential. He warns that tensions could rise dramatically on the Korean Peninsula if the talks fail.
If North Korea does not really cooperate in resolving the nuclear crisis, South Korea might have to sever its ties with North Korea.
And there are some analysts here who believe that day may come, because they say there is no way North Korea will ever give up its nuclear threat. Lee Dong-bak, a former official of the Korean CIA, is convinced North Korean leader Kim Jong-il will not negotiate in good faith.
North Korea under Kim Jong-il is totally incapable of letting the nuclear card go, because North Korea under Kim Jong-il without a nuclear blackmail card is a person without teeth.
Lee takes a dim view of North Korea's recent claims to have reprocessed all the plutonium from its 8,000 spent nuclear fuel rods, which experts say would give it enough plutonium for 5 or 6 weapons. He believes there is a sharp discrepancy between North Korea's claims and its real capability, and he praises the Bush administration for not being panicked by recent North Korean rhetoric. It's a stance the North is not likely to give up, Lee says.
Nuclear card is the only available means that North Korea has at its disposal today to ensure that North Korea will be on the receiving side of the international economic assistances. Imagine North Korea without the nuclear card. It'll turn out to be a forgotten asset within a matter of 2 months or 3 months.
This time around, though, North Korea will be facing 4 other nations in addition to the United States, including 2 of its former allies, China and Russia. None of those nations wants to see North Korea with a real nuclear arsenal, and says Scott Snyder, a Korea expert with the Asia Foundation, the pressure they can exert will help to strike a bargain.
The North Koreans traditionally, especially at the very beginning of a negotiating process, work very hard to try to hide their bottom line. But the fact that they have agreed to this series of talks suggests that there may be a possible deal. I think much depends on the extent to which the participating nations make it clear to the North Koreans that the nuclear path is unacceptable.
and they are sure to make it clear to the United States that any other than a negotiated solution with give and take on both sides is equally unacceptable. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Seoul.